Welcome to the Focus Forward Business Podcast from SturdyMcKee.com.
Hey, this is Sturdy McKee, and you're here with the Focus Forward Business Podcast. Today, I've got Lucy Babel with me. Lucy is an integrative leadership coach and trainer and an instructor at George Washington University School of Medicine. Lucy has a couple master's degrees, including an MBA from Johns Hopkins. She's a certified executive coach and a certified exercise physiologist from the American College of Sports Medicine, and has a few other certifications you can find listed on her website as well. She's walked the walk, lived the life of leadership in private companies, as well as the Department of Defense, and has been a serial entrepreneur and VC-funded startup founder. Lucy's also lived in California, Hawaii, New York, Washington, D.C., and Korea. She now helps others succeed in their business and leadership endeavors to create the careers and lives of their dreams. Welcome, Lucy, and thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, and thank you for having me.
Sure, welcome. So what would you want to add to that introduction?
I do think you did a good job. I appreciate that. All of the info you included on me, I appreciate that very much.
Cool. So we're going to talk a little bit about intersection health and leadership. And what I really wanted to start with is, how did you get started doing what you're doing now?
Right now I'm helping leaders to, or people in leadership roles, to become true leaders. And that involves a number of factors, as I'm sure everyone listening understands, right? It's not just about being bold or courageous or loud or hardworking or educated or experienced. Of course, it's a communion of all of them, but there's more. And you kind of alluded to it in my intro, that there is a thing about taking care of yourself so you can take care of others. And what does that look like in your life? It looks different for everyone. How I've come to that is, I have a history, as you also mentioned, of being in the health fields, and I've had leadership roles in the health industry. And so I've helped many people to change their health and their physiology through the natural means, like you would imagine, you know, exercise and food and sleep, etc. At the same time, I worked with a lot of leaders as clients, and being in leadership roles myself, I was noticing how it really truly does intersect. And I've been wanting to bring that out for a long time. Out comes the pandemic, and people start to really, that lands for people all of a sudden, you know, wow, my health is involved with my performance at work. And oh, hey, I better pay more attention to my health, because I don't know how long I'm going to be here. So that's it in a nutshell. I decided to pull it out during that time when everyone started to focus more on it. And at the same time, I was creating another company with a partner of mine, a business advisory company, more specifically about business. And people kept asking me to bring out this subject that I was hiding on the sidelines, because I just published my book, Eat to Lead.
So how does taking care of yourself influence how you take care of others?
Okay, great question. So many ways it does that, but when you're taking care of yourself, let's just put you in the situation here. When you're sleeping, let's say, getting enough sleep, do you, Sturdy, notice a difference in your performance day to day?
Well, sure. Of course.
I'd love to get, some examples from you, because everyone's different. What happens to you when you're getting good sleep?
Oh, just more stable mood, more energy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Anything deeper that you can think of?
I'm
don't want to put you on the spot there.
Just feel better. I mean,
feel better. Right. Okay. I'm gonna take it from your mouth, and let's see if you agree with me. Okay. When we feel better, we interact better with people. We have better moods. We don't assume negatively as much. We usually assume more positive. We're more creative. We can make decisions faster. These are just some of the examples. We have more patience. to work with people, to listen to people. We're more focused, so we can hear what they're saying, put things together quickly, come up with our next steps. And that has to do with sleep, but it also has to do with food. It has to do with your exercise, and it has to do with your mental fitness as well, what you think about and how well, and if you train your mindset, you know, that's all coming into the big patchwork quilt of how we take care of ourselves for leadership.
So talk a little bit more about that mindset piece, the training your mindset.
Yes. So I do want to dive into that. And I'm going to start from another place that I feel is extremely interesting. And that is that our mindset, we're finding now, affects everything. It affects our, not just how we think, who we're being to other people, but it also affects our physiology all the way down to our DNA. And that's an incredibly exciting part of science right now. That's was where I was in my first master's, my exercise physiology master's. We were studying DNA. It had just started at the time. And remember, we used to think that nothing could change our DNA. What we were born with, that's what was going to happen to us. That was our fate, per se. Right. But then we started finding the obvious things, food and exercise and sleep. Our healthcare can affect our DNA. And we started finding that out. A new area of science was born called epigenetics. That's what we do in life, how it affects our genes, epigenetics. And as we move forward with that, it's coming along much more speedily now, but we've now found that not just food and sleep and exercise, but also how you think and your moods and how you relate to yourself, how you relate to others, and whether or not you feel you have a purpose in life, all of these things affect your genes as well. So why is that important? You know, because genes are the blueprint that our cells replicate from. And our cells are always replicating. We're always making new versions of ourselves. And so I think this is an extremely motivating point to give to the audience that we can absolutely change our future in so many more ways than we thought.
So just to be clear, for some of the, there are plenty of healthcare providers that listen here and they're going to balk at the idea that we can change our DNA. We're talking about changing the gene expression, heritable changes in gene expression, and then factors, I think, the DNA methylation. Rather than changing, we're not changing the base pairs, right? We're just kind of what's firing up, what's not.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. And I definitely simplified things down for the mass audience for sure. And yes, and I actually teach this in the School of Medicine at George Washington University. Mm-hmm. So it's part of my class. So yes, it is DNA methylation, is whether or not the methyl group caps on to the part of the gene that decides whether or not it gets coded for and replicated.
Okay. That's wild. Okay. Well, so, I mean, is there an optimal state here? Is there something we can do? What do we do with that? You just blown our minds, Lucy, and we're sitting here going, okay, so now what?
We're done. Let's think about that.
Well, the fact that it happens that way, I mean, of course it does when you step back and think about, you know, about it. That's very interesting. I like that it's been explored. But what can we do with that? What's practical for us?
Yeah, I love that too, because there's this conversation around balance that comes up a lot. And there are differing opinions as to whether or not we can achieve balance, right? And in my opinion, balance is something that we're constantly fluctuating with. Balance is, it ebbs and flows. Our lives ebb and flows, and we need to kind of roll with the waves. And achieving some kind of balance with intensity of work and some relaxation and rejuvenation, whether that be being with other people, reading a book, taking a vacation, eating, bathing, you know, sleeping, all that is rejuvenation that adds back into our energy. So yes, we have to have a balance of that. And the balance is always shifting. There is no perfect balance, but we want to take that rejuvenation part, that renewal part back into account in our lives a little
kind
more.
Kind of the self-care everybody's talking about.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. So let's take that a step further. We're talking about or talking to people that are leading teams, you know, founding businesses, that kind of thing. So how do we take that to another level with our employees? I know employee engagement satisfaction is something you hold pretty important, but how, based on kind of your background and what you're seeing, how can I as a founder, leader, manager cultivate better employee engagement, better performance and meaning, I guess?
I love that you brought that up too, because we just talked about who you are being with others, how you relate to yourself and others,
right,
affecting your own health down to your genetics. And of course, that goes for them as well. And we've seen studies that say, you know, the leader, the boss, has more effect on his or her team's health than the spouse, because that boss and leader is much more involved in that person's life. You see that person more. And also, you know, work takes up a lot of our lives, right? So as we're relating to others, let's take it from the leadership standpoint. I am very much involved in working with my clients on communication and how we communicate. Of course, it sets the stage for how they receive what we have to say and the whole company culture that you're creating based on your communication. Communication is absolutely words, but it's also who you're being, how you react to people, just how you walk down the hall. Do you have a smile on your face, or are you looking pretty serious or sad, right? And all the way down to your slightest actions and moves that affects the company culture. So these are all just little things to think about, but of course, leadership is about details and they're worth diving into.
So, and I'm always talking with my clients too, is about communication being at least a two-way street. So I think too often we're focused on our broadcasting, right? Our transmission, we're communicating, we're articulating something. Can you go into a little bit of the listening and maybe receiving communication?
Right. Yes, I hear you. And a lot of people do think that communication from a leader standpoint is strongly focused on what you're saying. And I love that you brought in what you're hearing, because we also know that the best leaders are good listeners and that they want to hear what their teams have to say, because the teams are the people obviously on the ground doing the work. And we as leaders can't be doing all the work, obviously. So we need input in terms of how we're going to do our decision-making. And in fact, getting people involved in making the decisions is one of the best kinds of engagement. So people love to know that their opinion counts, that their experience counts, education counts, that they have value to the team and they're making a difference to the bigger picture. And all that counts as engagement. It also counts as a healthy environment in every sense of the word: mental health, psychological health, physiological health, and engagement. They all go together.
Cool. When we were kind of preparing for this, you and I talked about connection versus the command and control, demanding kind of leadership. Tell us a little bit more about your leadership philosophy.
Right. I know that command and control leadership is still the most popular kind. I know that because everyone I speak to talks about it. right? Whether it be the leader themselves or people that have leaders. And I've asked people, have you ever had a different kind of leader? And most of them say no. So it's still extremely pervasive in the country, if not the world. And mm-hmm. I think, unfortunately, there's a misconception about what leadership is, which is something I go into when I do my talks and work with my leadership clients, that the misconception is the loud, egocentric, you know, big personality kind of person. But they don't have to be. They can be, but they don't have to be. Mm-hmm. And what really people are looking for is someone they can trust, someone they can relate to, someone they can, that they feel understands what they're going through in their job and helps them, coaches them to the next level in their work. And coach is a really important word, because it's not about teaching or telling or bossing. It's about giving that person the opportunity to develop their own talents and skills and grow in their own way. And that obviously feeds into diversity of learning, diversity of interests and such.
Yeah. So, I mean, one thing I've noticed about leaders is you have a vision, right? You see something, you see a future that doesn't yet exist. And being able to share that vision and motivate people around that vision, not maybe pulling out more the intrinsic motivation, the inspiration that they get from seeing that. How does that play into what you were just talking about with the kind of maybe is it obsolete, the command and control, or is there a place for it, or where? How does that all fit together?
Interesting. Yeah, I wrote about this. Command and control does mm-hmm. have a place still in. And it's mainly in situations where there needs to be something done quickly. It's mm-hmm. in our armed forces. It's in police and fire departments, right? I mean, we need to look to someone to give us the order so we can do it right away. It's mm-hmm. extremely useful there. And if we had a meeting about it, fire would, you know, devastate much more of our
communities. If we stopped, right. How do you feel? What do you think?
Right. Do you think you should go there? Okay, good. You go there. So absolutely, we need command and control in certain areas, and even in hospitals, let's say, at some points where there are emergency situations going on. So we could think of many areas like that. The other side of it is, though, even with those kinds of jobs, there's still an opportunity to have the new kind of leadership, what I call leadership 3.0. It's not 2.0, it's 3.0.
Okay.
The new kind of leadership where we ask people how their job is going. How do we want to move forward? What's ideal for you? What role can you play? Where do you see this in 10 years from now? And really having those great discussions where people feel like they're included and they're useful and valued. And that motivates people. And we had talked earlier, Sturdy, about mm-hmm. intrinsic motivation. That's the highest level motivation. That's when you are pretty much self-motivated. You don't need someone else to tell you something to motivate you. And I've often talked to my clients about that too, because we feel that initially you might think, how could I possibly get into someone's mind and affect their own motivation on themselves? But you can, to the essence of the fact that you're involving them in things, and that creates self-motivation. That makes them want to come back, want to do more, want to show themselves, want to show you all that they can do. It's a very positive kind of motivation. And I'm just going to fit it in here. That leads right back to their health and yours.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I like that that comes back full circle. So you're giving them a reason to want to do something. And then that whole idea of meaningful work, of being fulfilled, fulfillment, engagement, it, of course, is going to lead back. I mean, you said it earlier, your leader boss can have a huge impact on your health and vice, you know, the leader can have a huge impact on their team health. And yeah, I don't think that's appreciated as much as it probably should be. So what are you currently working on? I mean, thank you first for bringing all this stuff together, because where the intersection of what you're talking about, it's a very new kind of take for me on the integration of all these different pieces that you're pulling together. I really like it. But what are you currently working on?
Currently, I'm getting a group development program going for leaders. So I'm going to have a beta program going shortly where initial group will come in, and then I'll roll it out 100%. But basically, it's about coming together as people in leadership roles who want to become better at their leadership skills. And we're going to work on exactly the things we talked about, intrinsically motivate, or helping your teams to be intrinsically motivated, communicating in a way that supports a healthy work environment and everyone's mental and physical health. And then also supporting each other and taking small steps towards taking better care of self. Because I know that it's a common theme, but it's also a myth that you can't work hard and also take care of yourself. It's actually, the truth is the opposite, right? The better we take care of our brains, basically taking care of our bodies equals taking care of our brains. That's shown out in science too. So the more we take care of that, just the better it works and the more efficient we are and productive we are.
Cool. So Lucy, how can people get in touch with you?
Great. Well, you can go to my website, lucigable.com, LucigaBel.com.
Okay, good. That'll be in the show notes too. That's awesome. So before we wind this down, are there any other thoughts you'd want to leave us with?
I guess I'll just say, explore being bold and creating new changes in life to support yourself and where you want to go.
Well, very cool. Very cool. Well, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you being here and sharing. Definitely opened my eyes to some new ways of thinking about health and leadership and the intersection. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Sturdy. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening.